بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, the etiquettes of entering a house in a madrasa. Our teaching is that one cannot enter even one's own house without permission, especially when there are visitors in the house. One can't just walk in. Many a times there are ladies in hijab. So we need to be very careful. Some people just clear their throats when entering. This is not correct. You cannot enter. What does Allah Ta'ala state? فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. When you are about to enter your homes, then make salam, which is a form of dua and which has been specified from Allah Ta'ala and is something of high blessings. So much barakah. But do we follow this here? Ask ourselves when we come away from madrasa, especially back to our home. Do we make salam, assalamu alaikum loud, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? It's a means of blessings, it's a means of muhabbat. When my Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, meaning Marathani Rahmatullah Ali, used to go home, he used to carry a cane in his right hand, a walking stick. When he reached the door, he used to knock three times with the cane. Then said, Assalamu Alaikum. If a child inside the house said, come in, he never entered. Only when an adult said, enter, would he enter. I witnessed all this myself. It was Bare Mia's own house. I used the name Bare Mia out of Muhabbat. Then too he used to enter by first obtaining permission. Especially people who observe parda have to be triple careful. When your wives are somewhere, we know of people that they have no respect for parda. Previously it was mentioned they hang around where the car is, the ladies can come out freely. Or alternatively, when you come, just say you went to the masjid with them, when you come back, it's his house, your wife is in parda. They first would open the door and look inside and say, oh, sorry, I forgot, man, you know, there's somebody in parda. Like suddenly they become pious instead of beforehand knocking, knowing fully well someone else's wife in parda is here. The possibility is that she may be in the lounge. It's all nafsaniyat. In all shaitaniyat that we act in this way, and it brings forth a lot of musibat upon the heart, that we are interfering with the women folk of Muslim brothers. Indirectly we are interfering. We want to see, we want to peep, we want to have a glimpse of them. This is totally haram. To the extent we should even consider the voice of a lady in the house of Ghair Mahram to be parda. If you are in the house, it's your house, or it's your father's house, ladies come, then their voice, first of all, shouldn't be so loud that everyone can hear. But at times, ladies being ladies, I'm speaking people who want taqwa, the men should go further in another room, somewhere else, the further the better, that the voice of the lady should not even enter into our yes. On the other hand, just see here is a Maulvi Sahib, and he enters without his announcing his arrival. That is not all. He barges into such an area, into such a house, where parda is observed. Now look at the difference. Just now, when Ibrahim Panur Damod Barakat to him, came with 2-3 very pious people, someone from India. And they were saying how sad the condition is. There's basically not much hope now. Everyone must do whatever little they can. You can't go and reform the whole ummah. Take that out of our mind. Now is the time of Imam Mahdi. Look after our own Islah. And wherever we can influence, whoever we can, we do it till there. It's not our work to go and change the mindset of everyone. That is impossible. Besides forgetting our own akhirah and forgetting our own a'mal and our own ma'lumats, we are basically going to get trapped in you, and all life will pass by. This one pious person himself mentioned, he says, I opened several maktab in India. I said, you know, there's so much ignorance, total ignorance. People even bury Muslims without giving ghusl, without giving kafan. They don't even know about kafan and ghusl. They are so ignorant. Come, let's open some small maktabs. And he put some of his students there. You go, you start teaching there, you start teaching there. I will oversee the salaries. You people spread what is the sunnah method. Couple of months after, suddenly he has to now answer to his students. So where the money came? How much money came? How much you keeping? How much you giving? He thought, what is this here? I'm sending you people, I'm telling you, I give you a place to go and teach, and he got fed up. He said, I'd rather close it, you find your own way. Everywhere we find there is major differences. The Tablighi Jamaat was one group, suddenly there's several groups now. Khankas were first under one sheikh, he mentioned this here. One khanka used to run. Suddenly the murid is now such a big shot, he wants to become, run his own khanka, in the khanka. Can you imagine the condition? Madrasa is there. The principal who started the madrasa would have law, but hardly anything. But nothing. He started a small alapa, gave barakat. Suddenly you find people want to overthrow the principal. They want to take away the madrasa. There's only nafsi, very little lillah yet. Sadly, parda has disappeared. Is parda not to be observed from first cousins, both on the maternal and paternal sides, and from close relatives? But whomsoever one can make parda, parda is to be observed. But just see, he just barges into the house and goes to sit there next to them. What corrupt social etiquettes are these? We speak about 30 years ago as he's speaking. They just go in, they just speak, they just, in a moment you, in a nice way, try and say it's parda. They get angry and they get upset. They get annoyed, they want to fight. The best now, stick you know, to our homes, try our best to worship Allah as we can, fear Allah as much as we can, mastata'atum. Amongst our circle of friends or families, we speak, we explain nicely what the deen is. Do not just unnecessarily go and get involved with such people, Allah forbid, that have no respect for deen. Let me give another example. Our masjid first we used to allow nikah to take place here. We had no problem. Thereafter we came to find out, when the people come here, especially on Sundays, to perform nikah, they would take a video of the nikah ceremony in the masjid. Then we appealed. We said, please don't do this. Still they carried on. It nearly ended up in a fight a couple of times when the students tried to stop them or other people. They couldn't understand. They want to video the student. They would take it without some students even knowing the photographs. And the groom would come here. Once I found a groom coming in here, he is dressed like stuff is a broom, if you can call it. And he is looking for a place. Why? He wants to change into his kurta. Now he must have a smart place. Now where are we going to send him? I can't bring him to my house. He wants to take off his suit and tie him. And now we can't send him to the boardings. So there was a old bathroom somewhere. We told him, go there. He felt very offended. Yes, like they put me, I'm getting married. How can you put me in such a bathroom, the student's bathroom, you know, the bucket system? And it got worse, and we said, right, let's put a full stop to it. Now we are not going to accommodate anyone. It is too complicated. A few days, somebody phoned, Assalamu alaikum. I'm going to ask you a very special favor. Right, we know the special favor can be only thing this year. Obviously, the person is not going to say, please teach me how to read Salah, or show me the wuzu, I want this favor from you. No, the nikah. I think, brother, these are the reasons. He said, you know, I made it clear to all the people. There is no videoing of it in a masjid. And this person is a learned person. So half is up, even more, minimum half is up. I told him, listen, in a masjid, we don't do anything. You want to take a photo and video in a hall, that's your business. So he's giving them permission, go to the hall, wherever you go, take the videos there. Padma Siddha. And this is a very high sense of piety which is reflecting. See, if I'm so good. Meanwhile, isn't it haram there in the hall? But the whole ummah, as Qari Tayyib Rahmatullahi mentioned in a pamphlet if we read yesterday, the ummah is a soccer ball for the kuffar. We don't have the power of sunnah, we don't have the power of the Quran, we don't have the power of taqwa, we don't have the power of generosity, we don't have the power of humility, we don't have the power of anything. That is why our survival is dependent on having life. There is no life, what do you do with it? You cut it, you slaughter it, you chuck it, you dump it, you do whatever. And that's what the kuffar are doing to us. We don't have life of iman within us. We don't have life of yaqeen. We don't really seem to believe that we are going to be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much zulm. It's unbelievable that the sky is still suspended. The sky is supposed to have crushed down, and the ground is supposed to have opened us upon us because of our sons. See how they ill-treat their wives, and how they make them miserable, and how they threaten, and how they dump them. And they just hop from one marriage to another, to another, to another. For what? Not for stability, not to have... It's just like, well, no one is going to tell me what to do. And that is the end of it. Allah have rahm. In the same manner, Madrasa Institute is within four walls. What was the necessity for the four surrounding walls? Subhanallah, first time I read it like this, here, we also got four surrounding walls. Also, why was the necessity for the four walls to be very high? Are the women staying inside? So just as, meaning in the madrasa itself. So just as a madrasa is a residence, the house is a residence, the Madrasa Institute is also a house. So there is no question of an outsider entering the madrasa without permission. If anybody wants to meet his son or meet a relative, then first take permission from the principal. If the principal is not present, his deputy will be present. Tell the doorman, the security, what we call, inform the principal that I wish to meet a certain person. What happens now is that if children play within the boundaries of the madrasa, if one prohibits them, they feel upset. Also, when the father comes, he asks, where does the boy whose name is so-and-so stay? Somebody points out the room where he's staying. Immediately, the father goes directly to the room and barges in. He's completely unconcerned as to the state of the child. How is he sitting? How is he lying down? What is he engaged in? Unconcerned, he simply barges in as if he's entering his own room. What type of a culture is this here? What type of consideration and manners are these? Isn't it bad manners? Terrible manners. Are these not topics to be discussed? Is it not necessary for those in a madrasa to listen to them? Should the responsible persons in a madrasa not take note? We have seen another age. Now it is just keep silent. It is an age of decline, an age of decay. Do not say anything, otherwise you will invite a fight. In the end, this was not only our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gave up giving bayan in the end of his life. He stopped going to give bayan. He just gave up hope. He said, now it's Imam Mahdi's work to reform the community. Khair by us, there is still, alhamdulillah, little hope. Every place, the Bayazid Rahmatullah, there was no way but his temperament that he could control it completely. There was no way. So he just basically, whoever wants to, they must now show interest, I'll help them. I'm not going to force myself upon anyone. Whoever wants to have munasabat, they must create that munasabat in their heart. To say, I want to benefit from this person, that is, I'm not going to go around looking for an pleading and begging and asking and pleading with people who are not interested. He would sit quietly and do his work. Cleanliness in teachings and tidiness, I know it's Aziz Bayan that I'm reading. Wouldn't it be extremely disrespectful for someone to think, oh, it's the same thing over and over. You must be very careful. If someone, it's a worse for self, from the same thing again, as he used to emphasize. What's the sense? We say, is it the same thing? But did we make amal or didn't we make amal? The issue is the amal. You can listen 100 times. Quran Sharif, how many times does Allah Ta'ala give the instruction for salah? Some say more than 84 times. Salah, salah. No one can turn, oh, here, salah again. Astaghfirullah. They lose the iman. The iman just is slipping out of the hands of people. Person, friend of mine told me on Sunday, he said himself, I gave a person a lift to the masjid. When he got off, half elderly man, mid age, I said, mashallah, you're going to make some, it was before actual Namaz time, make dua for me, you're getting a house in Jannah. When you go to the masjid, you get a house in Jannah also. The man turns around and tells me, you know what, all the houses in Jannah is just imagination. It's just imagination. This person who tells me, my friend, who's not a alim, he said, but doesn't a man lose his iman? Rasulullah said, Al-Jannah haqqun. Jannah is haqq. He's reading the mass, but he's making a statement. Jannah of the palaces are just imagination. Now, if that is the condition of a person going to the masjid, he can't understand it, what yaqeen is. Nabi Rasulullah mentioned, time will come, a person will wake up as a mu'min in the evening. He lost his iman. Allah protect us. To continue, the English took worldly benefit by studying our kitabs. They acquired cultural benefit. We are well aware of the condition of London and other parts of England before coming of Islam. We know. We have studied the books of history. They were like animals. Where was there any insaniyat? It is through the study of our kitabs that they are what they are now. That little that they have is because of studying our kitabs. Otherwise, still now, go see what they, if you look at their diet and the eating of the non-Muslim world, it's shocking. They eat snails, they eat snakes, they eat spiders, they eat frogs, they eat foxes, they eat whatever comes their way. 1/5 of the world, the Chinamen and all, they eat whatever they want to. The others, the amount of chemicals they eat to food, in the food, they don't allow anything of a khinzir to go unused. Nothing. From glue to fat to making brushes, every part of their testing is used. May Allah save us. So, this year is the culture. Whereas we have now retrogressed, even after having studied, they have acquired culture after studying. And we do not acquire any culture even after having studied. Just go and see the state of cleanliness of the rooms. Just go and see the state. The responsible persons do not bother to inspect the room to see the condition they are in. What is the state of the bedding and the cushions? What is the state of the charpai? Where are the shoes lying? Do you see? We have an idea now. We have a very good idea about what a madrasa like must look like, what it must be like. Will they go and check? In some madrasas, Allahumma hafiz, Allah pak save us. We take a lesson. It's so terrible. So I went to Pakistan. It's beyond, you can't think even a human being can live like that. Forget a Muslim and then forget students of deen. Filth, dirt, heaped outside. The lungis are hanging here, their trousers are hanging there, they couldn't worry, they slaughtered rabbits. They got rabbits cage, 20 of them in a small cage. The rabbit skin is lying that side. I saw this with my own eyes. The rabbit skin is lying, they don't take the trouble to bury the rabbit skin even. Terrible. Even if go and check, if they go and check today and the students have listened and obeyed, it is with great difficulty the rooms will remain orderly nearly for 2 to 3 days. After 3 days, back to square one. After that, the situation will revert to its disorderly state. The hue of the students' temperaments are of a different type. The mizaj, the tabiat of students. That of being uncultured. That is how they will live. So who will go day after day to tell him until some manners are not instilled in him? Having told him once and then twice, then leave them to live in that manner. He was by then old. He said, "Listen, what are we going to do?" Very sad. This topic is not only for the boys to listen to, but also for the responsible people of the madrasa. As he used to say, after Maghrib, he used to go to the madrasa. After Isha, go and see the madrasa. Breakfast time, he used to go and see. Everything must be neat, clean, tidy. Ajay, today the majlis is amazing. Is this not a majlis? Are these not issues to be related? Are these matters not to be understood? Is this not a culture to be imbibed? What type of culture should the students of Arabic acquire? Listening about the culture of others, how cultured should they become? Inshallah, we will carry on from reading the story of the Muslim Englishman coming to India. He was an Englishman, he was a non-Muslim, he accepted Islam, and he came to India. It's a new story, inshallah, we will read from there. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal wherever we can, whatever we can. As he used to always say, "Why, I don't know who amongst you is going to become what. I don't know." Allah Ta'ala got a kudra to create one Thanvi today, to create a Rashid Ahmed Gangohi, a Qasim Nanotwi. But then there must be that type of students also. Thanvi Rahmatullahi had so much haya, so much shame. He went to Deoband, he was a young boy. He had one aunt there. Thursday night is chutti, like all the major Darul Ulooms. So he went to visit his own aunt in Deoband. The aunt was very happy. She wrote to her brother in Thanabon. Deoband, Thanabon is about 30 kilometers. He came and so happy, and every Thursday night he must come and all. My father said, "Every Thursday night, huh?" He wrote a letter to his son. "I send you to eat by your aunt's place or to study. Watch out to go there again." And he wrote to his sister, "Please excuse him from coming. I don't want his mind to stray. He's got to study." Allah Ta'ala made such intizam that my father, such thoughts would come to his mind. We couldn't understand. That time you get cross, we are young, we get upset maybe. But he did one respect, you know, I respect whatever he says. And Manatamir said, because of that, I could apply myself full time to my kitab. So the Sheikh Sakaraya Rahmatullahi in Saharanpur, he stayed in one madrasa. It's like how we have here, upstairs, downstairs. The classes are upstairs. You saw how it is. This may be the size of this compound, this masjid that we have for the upstairs kitabs section. For I think about 5 years, he never went out of this building. 5 years. Every lesson he sat with wudu. When he came to Bukhari Sharif, now sometimes wuzu can break, so he thought to himself, he and a friend of his, that when our wuzu break, how can we read hadith without wuzu? So he told his friend, "Listen, let me keep a small bottle. If my wuzu break, I'll just nudge you, put up your hand, you ask the ustad a question. While you're asking, I'll just turn around with the water, and quick, just the first of wuzu, one time wash the face with and very quickly, in less than a minute, so I don't miss my next hadith." And the friend said, "Right, you do the same thing." Couple of times they did this here. Hazrat, just one question. The Musannif, the author, says this hadith, but there's that other hadith there. In the meantime, the ustad is explaining. After a few times, the ustad also, they were Allah wala, say, quota. The Shaykh Zagra said once, "Hazrat, just one question." He closed the kitab, the ustad said, "Please, I'm tired of the questions of the two of you. Make your wuzu nicely, I'll wait. I'm tired of the questions, make your wuzu." So that's why they turned out to be such great ulama. Such great ulama didn't just come out of the skies. The Mufti Mahmud Rahmatullahi, what can you speak about him? When he used to go home, he used to walk from Saharanpur to Gangoh. That time there was no vehicles and all. It used to be measured by the amount of Quran Sharif. He started Alif Lam, Alhamdulillah, Alif Lam. I think it would be about 7-8 paras. He reads one way. As he comes closer to Gangoh, he measures it right. I'm about now, I'll make it my 8th para, I will finish when I reach Gangoh. So much love for the Quran. Today we love our social media more, our cell phones more. We want to be in contact with the whole dunya. And someone tell us, even just they try and tell us, you know what, man, how are you going to learn ilm with all these distractions? We take offense, Allah forbid. So Allah grant us tawfiq.